Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Every week we catch up with WNYC planning editor Kate Hines to get a handle on what the newsroom has covered, is covering, and will be covering in the future. We call it Kate Has a Plan. We're talking about vaccines, the end of a very important Twitter account, and the upcoming mayoral debate, and of course, birds. Hi, Kate.
Hello, Allison.
Okay, this morning it was announced the FDA has authorized use of the Pfizer vaccine for 12 to 15-year-olds.
Yay!
Yeah, my son says, are you getting it? I'm like, both arms and a butt cheek. You're getting as many as you can.
You're getting all three, even though only one's approved.
Do we have any ideas of how it will be administered here in New York City? I mean, the belief is that it could happen as early as the end of the week.
Yeah, it's going to move quickly. There's one more hurdle to get through. The CDC is meeting tomorrow to formally approve its usage for this age group and issue guidelines. But in terms of administration, it's going to be similar to how it's working for adults right now. And I brought some tape. Here is New York City Councilmember Mark Levine, who chairs the council's health committee, speaking earlier today.
The city is going to pivot very quickly to actually start administering the vaccine for younger people. Assuming we get the CDC approval tomorrow, I think by Thursday morning, hopefully, at least at the city and state-run sites in New York City, young people will be able to get their shot.
So it will happen quickly, and it probably will happen this week.
So in terms of this age group, are they going to be able to walk in anywhere, or it's going to be appointment-based? We need to go to pediatricians?
Right. It's because all sites are walk-in sites now, you can both make an appointment or walk in. But remember that the Pfizer vaccine is the only authorized vaccine for the age group of 12 to 17, and you want to make sure that the site you're going to is the site that is administering that. Moderna and J&J are only used for 18 and up. The city's vaccine finder site, and if you Google NYC vaccine finder, it will tell you which sites are offering which vaccines. The city has said it will work with pediatricians, and it's also going to mount a Department of Education campaign to help parents, you know, navigate your options. But yes, in theory, you will be able to walk into a site with your 12 to 17-year-old and get the child vaccinated.
So there's some fun incentives to get vaccinated: the Krispy Kreme donuts, the Museum of Natural History passes, baseball tickets, and now two very New York-y incentives.
Right. Well, yesterday we learned that the state was setting up pop-up vaccine sites in 8 MTA stations, and people who get vaccinated there will score either a 7-day unlimited Metro card, face value of $33, or a round trip ticket on Long Island Railroad or Metro North, which is, you know, pretty exciting. And then today, Bill de Blasio said he was going to add in a free 2-week membership to City Bike for people who are, you know, who get vaccinated for the first time. So we've definitely reached the incentivization program of New York City. Yes, cheesecake is also on the table. Juniors is giving away a free mini cheesecake to anyone who shows proof that they've been vaccinated at both the downtown Brooklyn location and the newly reopened Times Square one. I should say that, like, you know, I'm not sure that public health feels entirely great about the incentivization of vaccines. It's something that people are worried about, is that it's either not that effective, that if you are really opposed to getting the vaccine, mm-hmm. these are not the type of incentives that are going to encourage you to do it, or it's going to create a backlash against people who, you know, say things like, if they have to give it away with incentives, it must really be something that is, you know, not something that I want. But it'll be interesting to see how this unfolds.
I don't know. Anyone can talk trash about Junior's cheesecake.
Amen. Just...
Let's talk about Governor Cuomo announcing yesterday that SUNY and CUNY students will need to be vaccinated. Was this expected?
I didn't expect it. You know, Cuomo had previously said the state wouldn't do it. You know, right up until this week, he was saying things like, we can't require students to get the vaccine because the vaccine is only authorized. It hasn't been formally approved. You know, we can't do it while it's under emergency authorization. And yesterday he was like, well, when it gets that authorization, we're going to require it. So, you know, if you want to be in person at a SUNY or CUNY college in the fall, you have to show proof of vaccination. I am wondering, you know, this is part of the emphasis right now is on getting everyone vaccinated, obviously. But this age group, the age group of 18 and up, has had lower vaccination rates, in part because they were basically just made eligible for getting the vaccine not that long ago. But, you know, the message that Governor Cuomo gave is very much like, you know, you're going to have to get it in the fall, so you might as well get it now. So it sounds like the state is trying to get ahead of any sort of lingering hesitation on the part of this age group and to basically say, you're going to have to get it. You know, the state is not requiring private colleges to do it, but it is saying, gosh, it would be great if you did.
And on the subject of low vaccination rate, I was surprised to see that our great transit workers have an extremely low vaccination rate. These guys and gals have been on the front lines.
Right. This is really surprising, in part because they have been on the front lines, and no city or state agency suffered the losses of COVID deaths the way that the transit agency mm-hmm. did. And as our reporter Stephen Nesson has reported, just 37% of workers at New York City Transit, you know, bus, Staten Island Railway, have received at least one dose of the vaccine, which is below, you know, the state average. When he asked why, you know, they didn't really provide an explanation, but they are obviously dealing with hesitancy. And everything that you have been hearing from the general population of people who do not want to be vaccinated, you are probably hearing among this group of workers as well.
My guest is Kate Hines. She's WNYC's planning editor. So, you know, in talking about vaccinations and outreach, we have to say tip of the hat to TurboVax. I know about this because I follow you on Twitter and you liked this tweet. TurboVax, which has helped thousands of New Yorkers book vaccine appointments, announced it's going to shut down now that demand has dwindled. It was started by an engineer named Hugh Ma for $50 and it became the go-to place. Why was it so important?
Well, you know, cast your mind back to the early days of vaccination availability in New York, when everyone had their own site. New York State had its own vaccination website, which was really clunky. The city has its own site. Pharmacies had their own site. So TurboVax, he built it as a bot that crawled all these different sites and put the appointments in one place. So instead of having to hit refresh on like several different websites, you basically hit refresh on just one website. And it was done in a way that was really simple, but visually straightforward. Like none of these city and state sites had even like, you know, production values that made you feel like you had a handle on what was available and what wasn't. So I think it's probably no exaggeration to say that he brought vaccines to tens of thousands of people. You know, he just made people's lives so much easier.
And he also, at one day, he shut down because of, in response to all the violence against Asian Americans. And he has raised a lot of money for Chinatown, too. I mean, he's kind of he's a little bit of a hero this year, I think.
Yeah, he really is. You know, he used his ever-growing platform to advocate for, you know, basic human rights for Asian Americans. Mm-hmm. He shut down his site in late February after a really gruesome stabbing in Chinatown. And he urged people to donate money to groups like Welcome to Chinatown. And when he restarted his site, you know, he had a whole Twitter thread about both anti-Asian violence and the contributions of Asian Americans to America. And he was like, if you think that I'm replaceable, ask your government how their version of TurboVax is going. So, you know, it was pretty compelling.
All right, we've got a debate coming up between the mayoral candidates. Where, when, how? Give me the lowdown.
Right here. You're squatting on the airspace. Thursday night, May 13th, it's going to air from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on WNYC. It's also going to be on New York One. And it's going to be the Democratic primary debate for the eight major Democratic candidates. Can you name the eight major Democratic candidates?
I can probably name... I might be able to, actually. I'm a nerd.
Okay. Do you want to do it on air, or do you want me to not shame you on air?
Oh, Garcia, Donovan, Morales, Adams, McGuire,
right?
Yang. Stringer's still there, right?
Yep, Stringer's still there.
And who's the last one?
Maya Wiley.
Wiley, yes.
So
that was close.
You were. That was pretty good.
I would have gotten Maya Wiley if we waited a second, but go ahead, please.
You did
continue.
Better than my young daughters who can now vote, and I'm trying to grill them on this. So Brian Lehrer will be among the people asking questions, so tune in Thursday night, 7 p.m.
Bird news?
There's always bird news. But let me just, this is my bird news in one email subject line. I'm on a New York State birding email list, because obviously, and the subject line of the week, wood stork. Yes. there is a wood stork that has been sighted in Long Island, actually West Hampton, which is very, very rare. You know, wood storks are the only stork species in North America, but they normally hang out way south. I've seen them in Georgia, for example. They're southern birds. But every now and then you will get one that's referred to as extraliminal, meaning, you know, it goes beyond its territory. And now people, dozens if not hundreds of birders are flocking to this neighborhood to get a look at this bird that you are just not going to see in New York. And to give listeners a sense of what it looks like, it's a giant bird. It stands like 3 feet tall. Its wingspan is like 5 feet. It's huge. It's white, but it has a bald head and a super long beak, and they are really cool.
You heard it here. Wood stork. WNYC planning editor Kate Hines. Thanks, Kate.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.